Matthew 18. I'm going to get right into it. I don't have a lot of time here this morning to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart for this lesson. I'm going to read this text. I'm going to read one more text, and I want to say a few things about the background here so that you know that I'm aware that the text I'm reading from is not directly related to the topic, but there's a principle here that I'm going to kind of extract from it. And the principle is absolutely, when I tie it all together, you'll see it. But I just follow along with me for just a minute as we kind of get there, okay? I'm just going to read two verses, verse number 19 and 20 of Matthew 18. And then we're going to read one verse out of Acts chapter 4 as well. I think it's in your notes also. But the Bible says here, "And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And Acts 4, verse 24 says, "And when they heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord." Probably if I were going to give you a verse that you could claim for you and your spouse to agree and pray together on, it would be that one in Acts 4. They lifted up their voice to God in one accord. And Matthew 18 is, of course, it's really a church discipline passage. And I believe the two or three gathered together in my name is referring to the two or three witnesses back in verses 15 through 18 that are trying to restore a fallen brother. And when those two or three come together as agreed touching anything and ask God for his restoration guidance and or removal guidance from the church, that they will be helped in that particular endeavor. But nonetheless, there's no doubt a principle here, and then all throughout the Bible, that it is a good thing when people that are saved come together and unite together to ask God for things. The power of prayer and the importance of unity in Christians is undeniable in the Bible. Let me say that again. There are two things that are absolutely clear in the Bible. One is the power of prayer. No question about it. It's clearly taught in the Bible. And then the other thing that's clearly taught in the Bible is the importance of people who know Jesus to be unified together. These two ideas, okay, power of prayer and unity of believers, is most vividly blended together in marriage. For no two people should be unified like married people, and no two people could experience the power of prayer like two married people. So that's what we're going to talk about today. You put these two things together, and I believe we could say that there is power in a praying couple. And I mean praying together. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because it gets embarrassing, and I'm not even going to say that I've been perfect at this, because certainly I have not been. But I would guess that if we were all to be real transparent and honest about it this morning, we probably would all be a slight bit embarrassed, probably, at how little effort we put into praying together with our spouses. And yet, I think from the Scripture we can see how incredibly important that it is, and that we should expect that God can do great and mighty things through prayer when we pray together. And I believe that's what we're going to learn this morning. Power of prayer is clearly stated in multiple ways. I think of Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." James 5:16, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." It accomplishes much. It does much. There's promises in the Bible that when we pray, it accomplishes much. There are also illustrations in the Bible that when people did pray, much was done. For instance, you have Elijah that prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years. How many understand that's a pretty big prayer request, right? And yet it was answered. Abraham prayed that God would not destroy an entire city for as little as 10 righteous people, when God had already said, "I'm going to destroy it without reservation." And so God is moved by people when they pray. There's no doubt about that. That's clear. We also know that there's power in corporate prayer. I think at Acts chapter number 12, when the church gathered together corporately to pray for Peter, who was in jail and it was about to die for the faith, and God heard their collective prayers and poured out an answer on them. I think of James chapter 5, verse 16 again, that gives us an admonition that we are to confess our faults one to another and that we are to pray for one another. And we are to be together and we are to pray. And my challenge is to you is this, that every couple in this room ought to make it a specific effort to spend time in prayer together every day. In addition to that, when we do that, we should expect that God is going to start doing some great and mighty things through our marriage as we pray together. Because where there are two or three people gathered together in my name, there He is in the midst of them. And when two or three agree upon earth as touching anything, well, guess what? A couple comprises of what? Two, okay? So we know that we can at least borrow the principle here and say to you that couples, when they pray together, should expect God's blessing in answers to prayer. So with that thought in mind, let's look at three keys to effective prayer in our marriages. Three keys to effective prayer with your spouse. Okay, so let me make sure I'm clear on what I'm saying here. I'm saying there ought to be a time every day in our lives, where me and my wife come together and together pray together. Okay, I don't mean you have a time to pray and your wife has a time to pray. I don't mean that you pray, but your wife's not really into it. I mean, there ought to be a time for every Christian couple where we actually set time aside and we actually pray out loud together for things that are on our hearts, that God has put on our hearts, and that should be our burden. And so, what my wife and I have found is for us, as much as she hates it, for us, it's very early in the morning before our kids wake up. Now, that's what we do. And there might be exceptions for that. Like, I think yesterday, if I've got this right. No, actually, it was this morning. We did it again this morning. But there are times when that doesn't happen, and we just make sure that it happens before we go to bed at night. Whatever is fine. Now, I'm a morning person. Angie's not a morning person. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I wake up very early. She doesn't like to wake up at all early. I think she thinks noon is early, okay? But we have agreed that this is important. So we have agreed upon a list, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment, and we have agreed upon a time. And we keep each other accountable, and when I feel like a grump, she's going to have to be the one that reminds me, and it's okay for her to have to remind me. And when she feels like a grump, which never happens, when she feels like a grump, then I have to remind her it's time for us to do this. And it might be 5 minutes, it might be 2 minutes, it might be 10 minutes. It doesn't matter. What matters is we've agreed together to pray together and should expect the blessings of God when we do. If you are with me so far, say amen. Are we good? Okay. Number one, what's the first key? Solve your problems. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17 talk about taking care of a problem that exists in the body. Verse number 18 makes this statement, if it is bound on earth, it is bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. By the way, the root word that is oftentimes translated forgive in the Bible is the word loose, meaning that what was going on here was there was a breach in a relationship that needed to first of all be taken care of before these people could come together. We cannot pray with someone that we are against. And I might say to you that your marriage is not intended to be a battleground. It is intended to be a unit, a together unit. And maybe sometimes the reason why we cannot pray together, or we don't want to pray together, or we just aren't praying together, is because maybe there's something like in this text that was there, that is in the relationship, that unless it is removed from the relationship, is going to keep you at a distance from your spouse. I will tell you this. One of the most intimate things you could ever do with somebody is pray with them. You actually get down on your knees and talk to God with them. You are opening yourself up in a way that is as close as any relationship that would ever be opened up, that close private communication with God. So when you open yourself up to that, you are in a spiritual world that is very, very close. Let's just bottom line. You don't pray with people that are your enemies. You don't pray with people that you have a problem with. You don't sit down and have a prayer meeting together with somebody that you're at odds with. And I think there's an application here that we should not expect to pray together or to be productive in prayer together unless we have solved any outstanding conflicts that need to be resolved. Let me give you three ideas here of some conflicts that should be resolved. Number one, unforgiven wrongs. Unforgiven wrongs. Bitterness is a deadly and awful sin that will destroy relationships. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17 make it very clear. It says, bitterness is like a root that springs up and troubles you, get it, and thereby many be defiled. You may have had something happen early in your marriage or recently in your marriage that the truth of the matter is you are at odds right now with your spouse. There's just something that was said, something that was forgotten, something that was neglected. I don't know what it is, but there can there not be unmet expectations in our marriage? Sure there can. Can there be things said in haste or in anger and frustration that should have never been said? Sure, absolutely, absolutely. I think we've all heard this before, that three statements we all need to learn in marriage is this: I'm sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me? And I think Brother Rules even said it before, a marriage is a union of two people who are good at forgiving. And look, hey, you married a sinner, newsflash, right? We all did, every one of us. There is not a perfect person in this room. There is not a person that's never crossed your spouse in this room. There's not a person that's never said a wrong word to your spouse in this room. There's not a person who hasn't done anything dramatically stupid in this room in your marriage that really, without the grace and the forgiveness of Christ, could be life-altering negative things that we've done. Here's the difference between those of us that are saved and those of us that are not. Those of us that are saved know what it means to be entirely forgiven of something that we did not deserve, and therefore we become the candidates to share that same forgiveness with people when they've done things to us that we did not deserve. So the bottom line is this: you want to learn how to pray with your spouse? Why don't you forgive them for something they did or said or a way they acted that hurt your feelings? And when you do that, you can move on. Number two, unresolved differences. Unresolved differences. Sometimes the difference of what you want to see happen, maybe in a job, maybe with your raising of your children, maybe with the marriage itself, you have a view, they have a view, and it's a conflict. You cannot pray for spiritual direction when the two parties are going in a different direction. And what I'm saying is those kinds of things need to be talked out. How are we going to discipline our children? What are we going to do about education? How are we going to use our money? What about church attendance? And I'm just telling you right now that if there are in the spiritual world differences between how we're supposed to do things, how we're supposed to function together, then there's no way you can pray in unit about those things because you're not on the same page. And I think that's one of the beauties of actually praying together. When I hear Angie pray, guess what I'm hearing? I'm hearing her heart. And then I can come in together with her and we can agree. In fact, she could pray today better than I could, but how many things have we removed off of our prayer list because even in prayer together, we were like, we're not praying for the same thing. There's literally been a time where I was praying for something and I could just sense it. She wasn't praying for the same thing. So what do? We stop and talk about it. Then we readjust the prayer so that we're both on the same page. This is a spiritual depth kind of relationship I'm talking about here that you can't understand with somebody that you don't pray with. So if you have unresolved differences, you're going to have a hard time praying together. Number three, unspiritual priorities. Hey, look, I think we all understand this, that in any given class of this size, there are going to be mixtures of couples in this room that have different spiritual priorities. There may be somebody here, for instance, that the husband is carrying the spiritual load of the wife, or maybe vice versa. The wife, unfortunately, may be carrying the spiritual load of the husband. And maybe there's just two of you. Maybe you've been saved recently or you've been coming recently, and one person's really taken off and really serious about God, and you kind of feel like you're getting drug along and not really sure what this is all about. I want to tell you right now, until you both have spiritual priorities to where God is in charge of your life, to where He is the one that both of you love, He is the one that both of you serve. This is not her thing, and I'm just going to go so she's not mad at me. This is not his thing, and I'm just going to kind of do it kind of like I go watch a football game with him. No. No, we've got to be in, lock and loaded, lock, stock, and barrel, both of us fully devoted to serving the Lord. And if not, I'm telling you can't pray together with somebody like that. It's not going to happen because you're not on the same page. So what's the first step? Solve your problems. Make sure you're on the same page. And guys, listen, hey, if I can't be transparent with my wife about the differences that we might have, if I cannot be transparent with her about the problems that we have experienced, if we cannot talk openly about priorities in our life that may not differ, then you don't have much of a marriage. Right? Because if I'm closer with the basketball buddies and the bowling buddies and the buddies at the shop, and I can talk openly with them about anything, but I can't talk to my wife on that kind of level, then my marriage isn't very strong. And you know what? Prayer will really test your marriage. It'll really test and show you where the relationship is at. So, number one, solve your problems. Number two, synchronize your prayer. Synchronize your prayer. Now, I chose that word carefully. If you notice, please, in verse number 19, it says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth. How you music people are going to love this, okay? The word agree in Greek is the word symphonic. Symphonic. In fact, in English, we have transliterated the word symphony. It's the same word in Greek. And that word is translated agree in the New Testament. Now, isn't that amazing? Phonic, the spoken word, the sound, right? Phonic. The phonic is how a word sounds. Okay. The with soon is with, the with sound. If you've ever heard an orchestra play, sometimes we call it a symphonic orchestra. It's that the instruments come together to make a sound, right? That's what a symphony is. Here's what the Bible's saying, that if you want to have an effective prayer life, if you want to get together with something, you guys have got to, first of all, agree, letter A. You got to agree. You've got to become a symphony. You got to become a sound that is together and not out of tune and not out of touch and not in good harmony, but a symphony. So you got to agree, and then you've got to assemble. So letter A is agreeing in prayer. Letter B is assembling in prayer. That's how you synchronize. You agree, first of all, this is what we're praying for, and then you assemble together. Now, I'm going to give you some practical things here in just a minute, and I meant to include these in the outline, but I didn't. So we're going to get real practical in just a moment. But let me give you this quote first. When the Holy Spirit leads two believing hearts to beat as one concerning some coveted blessing, then there is power. Wherever you can find another whose heart the Holy Spirit is drawing out in the same direction He does yours, you can approach God with great confidence of obtaining that thing. Maybe an illustration will help. When I was growing up in West Virginia, we used to go coon hunting all the time. Now, I'm sorry if you're an animal rights person, but anyways, that's what we did. And really, it's kind of a lazy man sport, to be real honest with you. Coon hunting, all you do is you go out in the middle of the night and you let dogs go do the hunting primarily, and you just let the hound dogs go, and they go running out in the woods, and you start hearing them bark. Usually you have more than one dog, because the two dogs, when they are in agreement one with another, you found the raccoon. And so you'll sit there in the back of your truck with the tailgate down, just with your guns ready, and you just let the dogs loose. When they start barking, you start following the bark. When you come to a tree, it's called treeing a coon, okay? Sorry for all y'all city people. I know this is a horrible illustration for you. But when you follow that bark and you end up at the bottom of a tree and both dogs are barking up the tree, you can absolutely bet there's a coon in that tree. And then you got these cool little headlamps and you turn them on. I mean, you're a real redneck if you use headlamps, okay? You get your headlamp on and you shine it up. And when you see the tree, you take your .22 rifle and you shoot, pardon the expression, the raccoon in the rear end. You shoot them in the rear end, they fall out, and your dogs kill them. That's how you coon hunt. It's intense. But if you got one dog going this way and another dog going another way, you don't know if you're following the right thing. But when you got two Christians barking up the same tree, you got a good thing there, led of the Holy Spirit that God can bless, okay? So I'm going to get, this is practical, this is not in your notes, and I'm sorry for that. But I'm going to give you how to establish a effective prayer time together where we have agreed together and we have assembled together, okay? I'm going to fly through this. I want you to get this. If I don't get anything else done today, I want you to get this. And I can always send these to you later if you need them, okay? Number one, the first step is establishing a time that works. Establishing a time that works. Obviously, a prerequisite to all this is that you agree with what I'm saying today. Obviously, you've got to agree that this is a priority. This is important. Once you do that, what's the next step? You got to decide a time. I've already told you our time. The mornings work good for us. How many understand when your kids start running around the house, peace is over. It's gone. Nothing else profitable can take place. I mean, these little people are crazy. Not good night. I mean, they're just they just wake up and it's a rampage all day of activities and fights and wars and fun and laughter and games. And you know, to a kid, that's all life is, just one big giant game and one big giant party. They're not thinking about the prayer meeting going on in the room, unless your kids are like, you know, way more spiritual than mine, okay? They're not concerned about a 6 a.m. prayer meeting with mom and dad, okay? So number two, so you got to establish a time that works. Number two, you have to create a list for specificity. Create a list so that when you two get together and pray, you have something that you've already agreed upon that you're praying for. I mean, you have written it down. And for us, the way this list started is Angie and I, at least once a week, sometimes every other week, we go on an evening date. Now, we use college students as babysitters. They're very good, by the way. You got free Wi-Fi and a washer and dryer. I'm telling you right now, they will babysit for free all day long. We love it. We use them like crazy. And Angie and I think we just did it. It was Thursday night, I think. Thursday night, we went out for 3 hours and we got some dinner, went to Starbucks for most of it and just sat there and talked. That's important for us. And it's in a moment like that that you can sit down and actually create a list. And I'm not talking about a $50 date. I'm talking about you can have a $3 date if you want to. It could be a Diet Coke at McDonald's, okay, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Anywhere you can get away from your family for a few hours to sit down and talk it out will be absolutely critical so that you can know what you're praying about. So let me give you a few things that we pray specifically about every day, okay? Number one, we pray for the specific needs of our children. The specific needs of our children. I have them listed. I have an entire prayer list for Brent. I have an entire prayer list for Adriana. We're praying for two different things for them. Why? Because they're two different people. They have two different needs. Adriana got saved in February. We're praying for things different for her now. Brent is 3. He's not saved. He already preaches, but he's not saved, okay? I'd like to get his priorities right there first, but I'm praying every day for salvation. I pray for spiritual needs. My daughter struggles with authority. My daughter and my son struggle with being stubborn. Anybody else understand what I'm talking about right now? Can you pray for that? Well, if you can't pray about it, what can you do about it? Nothing. You can yell, fight, spank half to death, whatever. But I'm telling you right now, only God can change their hearts. I pray for courage, moral courage. I pray that my daughter will do right at school. I pray that she will know the difference between a good friend and a bad friend. I pray for their future spouses. You say, what? Yes. I pray right now for the husband of my daughter and the wife of my son that they will stay pure, that they will love God, that when they come together and meet someday in college, that they will know it's the will of God, that there won't be confusion, there won't be heartbreak, that they'll know and that God will protect them both. We can pray for purity. We can pray they'll stay away from sexual sins. I pray every day that my son will never look at pornography. And that I will never allow him to have access because of how unguardedly foolish I can be sometimes by letting an iPad sit out on the coffee table and letting them have access to it. I can pray about it. You want to know why? Because I'm so stupid, I'm going to mess up, but God can't. I pray they love our church. I pray they love our pastor. I pray they love chapel when they go to chapel. I pray they love church. I pray for my kids. You could pray all that. I just gave you 5 minutes worth of prayer right there just for your kids. How many have more than one kid? 10 minutes. Okay? Three. Some of y'all have 3, 4, 5. If you plug in the specific needs of your children right here, you say, I could pray for a long time. And absolutely you can. Absolutely. Number two, I pray for specific parenting needs. Angie and I, listen, we pray together for specific parenting needs. How many of you need help from God? Can I get a witness, please? Good night. Are you kidding me? I don't know what to do. I pray that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing we pray for every day when we pray about God. As I interact with my children, I have to have your control, because if I don't have your control, I'm going to be out of control. Angie and I pray for this one all the time. By the way, Angie does more than pray about this. She encourages me on this one all the time. We pray that we will answer with a soft answer. How many of you can get a little hot-headed sometimes? You know, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And about the time I'm getting ready to explode, what are you morons doing? Right? Soft answer turns away wrath. And I can pray that I will respond like that. And it's amazing. My daughter, for instance, is high strung. I mean, she is like, she's like a, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, she, I don't know. She is like a rocket. From the time she gets out of bed, and sparks are flying, many times good, but many times bad. And I'm telling you right now, there have been times where you're in the middle of almost an all-out war, and the best thing you can do is don't fight that fire with fire. And look right here. You've got to have God to help you with that. If you don't, you're not going to do it. You're going to blow your fuse. And I will tell you this, you blowing your fuse has never helped a kid. And it never will. But you got to pray about that. We pray for consistency. We pray for patience. Amen. We pray for lots of that. We pray 10 minutes a day for that. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so number three, what's the third thing we pray for? Specific financial needs. Specific financial needs. We pray to pay, if you had a debt that you need to pay off. Hey, every March we take up offerings in this church. Do you know that we can start praying now for that? Did you know that? We can start praying that we are wiser with our finances so that we can give more. Maybe you've got a medical bill that came up. Maybe you've got a financial thing you weren't expecting. Guess who can meet those needs? God can. And we list them out. We list the specific things we're praying about. We pray about a certain amount of money we want to save by the end of the year. We pray about a certain amount for this and this and X and how much this is going to be. We pray about all of that. Why? Because we want God to be able to do it for us. Letter D, number four. I don't know how you guys are numbering this. Number four, what can I pray about with my wife? Request from others that have been shared with us. Somebody might come to my wife and say, will you pray with me about this? I oftentimes get people that come to me asking me to pray. We're praying for friends that have cancer. We're praying for pastors in other places that have issues. I prayed this morning for a friend of mine that's a pastor that's asked me to pray about something. Anytime somebody comes to us or shares a request that's a friend of yours, we can pray together for the needs of people that have shared those things with us. Next, number five, we pray for each other's individual schedules, our burdens, and our needs. We pray for each other's schedules. My wife knows my schedule. I need her to pray with me. She knows how busy I am. She knows how many times I'm preaching today, right? She knows those things. Why? Because I've shared them with her. I know when my wife is up to here with kids. I pray for her. And then what do? I can step in and be the answer sometimes and give her a little bit of relief, right? You know, not to be overly transparent, but last night, I mean, I just finally told her, I said, Angela, you're a little stressful. I sense what's going on. You go, you take some time to yourself in our room, take a bath, do whatever you want to do. I'll feed the kids. I'll put them down. Why? Because I'm going to be sensitive to that. When we're praying together like that, you can sense there may be some stress building with raising kids or some stress building with a financial pressure or a schedule or just a week that's out of control. You can pray for each other about each other's week, about each other's individual needs. And that's important. Their burdens. And then finally, I would say this, we pray for every major decision that we need to make. And there are lots of them to make. I'm sure that you're aware of that. Number three. So number one, we establish a time. Number two, we create a list. Number three, we create a journal to record praises. This is the funnest part about praying. The funnest part about praying is when you get to write down all the answers. I've got specific answers for 2015. I can pull it up right now, and I can share with you things that we prayed about together that God answered. We wrote them down and said, hey, He did that. He did. What does that do? It creates praise in your heart, which you need to do, and it creates a thirst for more. See, Elijah said he prayed for it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it says this, and he prayed again. Why did he pray again? Because he saw it work one time. When the devil tries to discourage me and tries to get me to think God's not at work in my marriage, guess what I can do? I can pull out the praise journal and throw it in his ugly face and say, you're crazy. Look at what God did. 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 And we need to do that. So once you solve your problems and synchronize your prayers, finally you can see the provision. I don't have time to do this. I've got to preach and you've got to go too. But I will say this. If you start to pray together, watch out. I could take you to our children real quick. We prayed for 5 years that we'd have a child. We fasted and prayed for 21 days in the summer of 2007. God gave us Adriana like that. She cost over $30,000 paid for like that. We found out about her 10 weeks before she was born, and God brought her to us just like that. You want to know why? We prayed together. I remember when Angie came to me in 2000 and, uh, 2012 and said, I believe I'm burdened to have another child. We started praying together. I'm just telling you right now, within days, she was pregnant with him. 10 years after we were married. I'm saying to you, when you come together and you agree and you call upon the name of the Lord, you better expect God's going to pour out the blessing. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for you for the time we've been able to share together this morning. I thank you for this class. I thank you for Brother Rule. Pray you protect him and help him as he is in Israel. I pray you bring him back to us safely next week. I pray that our class will be filled with prayer warriors to pray together and see you do great things. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.